Hello and welcome to Horrible Friends. It's a podcast and book club format about horror movies. This week we have Speak No Evil from 2022. Starting off, my name is Kyle.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jarvis.
And the way this is going to work out is that we are going to give you a little bit of history of the movie. We're going to talk about the movie. And then we're going to give you our little stank at the end of there about how we feel about the movie. And specifically about Speak No Evil from 2022. Dan, do you happen to have any history about this one?
So Speak No Evil from 2022 was directed and co-written by Christian Taftrup. It was also co-written by Mads Taftrup. And I kind of put them together because they collaborate a lot. I assume that they are related, having the same last names. But they've worked on things such as A Horrible Woman, Parents, and Hygge? H-Y-G-G-E? With an exclamation point.
Eek? Yeah, don't even Eek. Try. I couldn't figure Eek. It out.
It's a fun name. Fun word. But moving right along. Other 2022 horror movies that we could have watched. A very fun year for horror. We had movies like X, Piggy, Barbarian, among many others that came out this year. Our runtime for this, just moving right along, we had an hour and 37 minutes. So not a super long movie. Nice time.
We'd say easy watch, but I'm not sure that would be the appropriate way to
phrase
it. No,
it was an uncomfortable watch.
It's a quick watch.
It's a typical movie time frame.
Yeah,
I suppose,
but it feels like an eternity.
It does
for the right reasons.
this was maybe my second time watching it, and it really felt more and more and more like the Office dinner party episode the more I watched it.
Right. Like right. Yeah. It is a bit of a nightmare to watch. It's a rough one. I'm going to be honest. I could not watch it again. I've seen this movie once. I did not watch it again for this podcast. You know why? I didn't need to. It is burned into my memory. Every second of it. That is how difficult those situations were to like get out of my head after the movie. They're still there months later.
I don't understand it because like the ending of the movie rocks.
You are get that. Just get it. You are just claps. The worst.
Just claps. Yep. Just claps.
I thought it was Kane, but you know, I get the WWE reference. That was still pretty good.
Did we all watch Speak No Evil?
I watched Speak No Evil.
I
Dan, you?
Yeah, Dan. Yeah. I watched. I watched.
Oh, me too.
I
Kyle.
May have watched See No Evil from 2006, which is another movie we're going to do at some point because I already watched it.
Now we're going to watch it.
It's not the same movie.
Really?
It is not.
I thought it is not. I thought it was very similar. Like Meat Hooks, very Dutch close. Vacation, it all felt very similar.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you think that this was just maybe just a sequel, you know, like See No Evil, Speak No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Yeah, yeah. I'm waiting for that.
Where is Hear No Evil? That's right? What I'm waiting for.
Next year, I think. Alien Invasion, maybe.
Honestly, just thinking of Hear No Evil, just the entire movie is you just hear people just screaming constantly for like an hour and a half.
Evil. Just the word
just
evil.
Just screaming the word evil for an hour and a half.
We can do a whole thing. We can do Taste No Evil.
Just the senses.
Touch No Evil.
I really want to make a Great British Bake Off horror movie. I'm set on it, man. I really want to do it. We can even branch off into porn. Suck No Evil. I'm into it.
I can't suck that. That's evil.
But I guess I'll try anyway. Get over here.
So our budget for this, it cost about $3.2 million. Box office, only around $631,000, which is interesting because, you know, the U.S., someone decided to already remake it for next, oh no, this year.
This
2024.
Year. 2024. Yeah, it's going to be starring James McAvoy. Yeah, like, I'm a little just surprised weird. At that. Yeah, because it's, I mean, but we're doing the same thing with, you know, Train to Busan. We're just taking it and, you know, regurgitating it and making it our own. And I get that with some movies. These don't need that. This movie is in English.
Yeah.
If that's people's hold up, you know, sure, Korean cinema, some people don't like to read subtitles, you know, whatever. I still think it's lazy.
Yeah.
But this movie is in English. What's the point?
I also think that it being in different languages added like another layer, because there's like constantly these times in the movie where it's like the language barrier almost became like a safety blanket for the one couple. And then it becomes like some sort of cloak for the other couple where it's like, oh, what are they saying over there? So I thought it like actually added to it, if anything.
I hope they play a Danish couple just in America. Like, I hope it's just so unnecessary that they just lean into it as hard
James
as possible.
James McAvoy getting rid of his Scottish accent to do a Danish accent in America.
You know what it's going to be?
Danish and the Dutch.
I mean, hey, he did do like all those different personalities in Split. So, you know, you could throw in some different like accents in there somewhere, I'm sure.
He could do it.
It's going to end up being one couple is like a heavy Southern Republican couple and one couple is a heavy liberal couple. And they're going to be like, we're going to get along.
Were you in the writing room for this movie?
You know it's going to be something like that.
I'm scared because I feel like you're fucking
right.
No,
he's 100%
right. I feel like you are absolutely.
It's going to be terrible too.
Oh, everything's going to be so fucking political.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get back to this fun movie and not the shit American one that we're
when that seems like the fun movie.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, our country's in turmoil. Yep. If this seems like the fun movie to talk about, Jesus.
Well, it's fun for the whole family, right? The kids get involved, the parents get involved. It's great. It's a fun romp.
They sure do. Other strangers get involved.
Yeah. With clothes, without clothes. Yeah. It's just a fun romp, you know?
Probably some large Contigo container boxes.
Something like that.
Stuff them into.
So I just quickly want to name the actors on this, or I want to do my best to name the actors.
Yeah, let's hear this.
So Bjorn, who is the one father, is played by Morten Burian. We have Louise, who's the one. This is the Danish couple. So Sidsel CM Koch, that's Louise. Then we have Patrick, who's played by Fasia Van Huet. And then we have Karen, who's played by Karina Smulders. And I just wanted to call them out as best as I could and Americanized as I could. Just because I honestly, it's four actors for the most part, and they fucking carry this throughout the whole goddamn thing.
It's crazy how small the cast is. Yeah. If you look at the IMDb page, there's actually like eight actors, but four of them are in the movie for like a total of like, I don't know, less than 30 seconds each. It's really six actors, including the children, that really just carry this whole thing. Incredible.
So our filming locations for this was filmed in, you know, three different places. It was filmed in Friesland in the Netherlands. It was filmed in Tuscany, Italy, and Finn, Denmark.
And Canada?
No, Canada. This is a European movie.
Nope.
Hey, guys, if you're American when you go in the bathroom, you're American when you come out of the bathroom. What are you while you're in the bathroom?
European.
No.
Oh, sorry. All right. That's what I'm coming here with. Pee and poop jokes. All right. So our tags for this movie, there are no tags. Let's just jump right into our plot.
No tags, really?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, well, the movie is speaking.
Yeah, so they can't speak about it.
Yeah, we can't.
Okay. All right.
Ooh,
I guess.
Oh, Kyle's got one.
The movie
no
poster.
One can hear you speak.
There you go.
The movie poster is very fun, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have actually looked at it, but it's that, the car and like you just see the woman's face like pressed against the glass and Bjorn's face just looking outside of the car. Yeah. Very depressing, especially once you know the story.
It was the blaring of the lights that confused me. For some reason, I thought it had something to do with like a train at some point. Like I thought they were going to be hit by an oncoming train.
Like from Busan.
From Busan, right? That was going from Busan to New York
just
City.
Out of nowhere.
So. It's weird that they live in the same universe, all these films.
Just a train full of zombies. Yeah. That's the next one.
It's a bunch of zombies come out of nowhere. With that, let's get into our plot. All right, so I've broken this into three different parts for us. So our fun romp of a time starts with a Danish family consisting of Bjorn, Louise, and their daughter, Agnes, who go on vacation in Tuscany, and meet a Dutch family who consists of Patrick, Karen, and their son, Abel, who has congenital aglosia, which basically just means that he was born either without a tongue or his tongue just didn't develop and it's too small, so he can't talk. But after spending a considerable amount of time together on vacation, Bjorn, Louise, and Agnes are invited to spend a weekend with their new friends in rural Netherlands. However, they quickly become uneasy when Patrick begins pressuring Louise to eat meat, despite them knowing that she's a vegetarian. Really, she's a pescatarian, but whatever. She continues to say, I'm a vegetarian who eats fish, but that's a pescatarian. Whatever. I digress. And, you know, Patrick shows that he's being abusive towards Abel, just by, like, kind of emotionally abusive. Not really anything physical. Then Patrick and Karen invite Bjorn and Louise out to dinner, and they insist that the children do not come with them. It's just for the parents. And the children stay with the babysitter, who is Muhajid, and Muhajid speaks no English. The awkward times continue as Patrick begins to challenge Louise's vegetarianism in a really hostile type of way. And then Patrick and Karen are like grinding up on each other, basically just fucking on the dance floor, which is very funny to watch. And Patrick drives drunk at one point, and he ignores Bjorn and Louise as they plead for them to turn down the music on the car ride back. And the uneasy feelings are only exacerbated when they find Agnes in bed with Patrick and Karen while Patrick is naked.
So where do we start?
So a Danish family consisting of Bjorn and Louise.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't really know where to start either. I do want to say, since no one else saw this for the second time, watching this the second time was almost more creepy because I knew what they were doing the whole right. time. So just watching
had to be.
Yeah, when they're on vacation, you watch them, and the first time it's like, all right, it's just like a normal couple talking. But like the second time through, you know what they're doing. So it's like, wow, they're just scoping out the place and seeing who can they. Yeah, they're mm-hmm. trying to see who can we get. Very creepy.
Especially somebody who myself likes to go on vacation and does like to meet people from other countries and say hello to them and whatever. I'm getting Speak No Evil like next week.
Yeah.
Kyle wanted us to go meet up with somebody while we were in Italy, and he's like, oh, we can go check out his bomb shelter.
We did
you
not.
You guys never would have came back.
No.
What?
He was like, I live just a little bit outside the city. It's my parents' house, and they have a bomb shelter from World War II that you guys can have some wine. And I was like, wine and meat and...
And a bomb shelter.
And a bomb shelter.
Sounds amazing. Like,
and,
why'd you take meat?
And me and Jackie were talking, and it was just like, this is literally why the white people die in the horror movies. This is it right here.
Well, so to be fair to us, we were supposed to hang out with this guy for the chunk of the day. He was supposed to show us around this one town. So it wasn't like we were just going to show up at his fucking house and get like taken. Yeah. So we would have potentially scoped it out. But if he was just like, hey, guys, how's it going? That good things are good. And then we'd be like, OK, let's go back for some free wine and some free meats and gotten murdered.
All right. See, yeah, that's the problem, because I like, you know, doing my self analysis, I would have went. That's that's a problem after trying to look it through this lens. Now, like, I would actually like to talk about that. Like, what are your guys' thoughts? You know, so obviously I know, Kyle, you like to meet people when you go out. Who here has, like, Facebook friends? Like, a couple friends? A couple that you met, you know, at a party? Or just kind of like a one-off experience that you guys added on social media? You guys have those, right? I mean, we essentially went to, like...
What's that?
Chris doesn't go outside,
yeah,
so...
No. Yeah, Chris, no? Not so much?
No. The outside's scary.
Okay. All right, that's fair. You know, but that happens, you know, like,
I mean,
we
just
were at
happens.
A campground.
Yeah. You just like meet new people and it's like, oh, these people seem really cool. And it's hard to make friends when you become an adult. It's like harder for some reason.
That's true.
And that's what like, this movie focuses on.
Friendship.
Right. Well, it's a story about friendship. That's what it is.
Undying want to have friends.
Yes,
it really is. You know, it analyzes the struggles of like new friendships in adult life. And the willingness that one person in a relationship, typically, because it's usually one or the other, the willingness they have to kind of like sacrifice their comfort and like, you know, their gut feeling towards obvious warning signs, like kind of in that effort to establish something new. And you're willing to kind of forego these things that you absolutely normally never would, but you're trying to build a connection. And I think that's ingenious about this movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I can't really think of another movie that really like focuses on this kind of thing. It was kind of like new fear unlocked in my brain. I was like, oh my god, like that is a terrifying actualization that you really don't know people.
Yeah, I met with a guy in Germany who we just chatted over a similar app, and I went with him to his parents' house, and I stayed with him for a night, like in his apartment. Never met him in real life before. He's just a German guy. It was very friendly, and I still have both my kidneys. Thank you.
So that's cool.
Right. So like sometimes you just have to get your kidney stolen potentially to have like a good time. And I did.
Look, it's a trade-off. Yeah. They take your kidney. They give you a good time. It's great. Mm-hmm.
I will say.
But see, I'm kind of with you there. Mm. Like I would. That doesn't sound too scary for me. And maybe it's like me as a male. Like, because my wife is absolutely just a guy. You know what I mean? Because like a guy can just walk outside and just be like, a perfect example. I'm walking my dog the other day. My wife, we have two dogs, one large, one small. My wife comes to the area. I'm like throwing the ball with my big dog. And she kind of like sneaks up on me. She's like, you're not scared that I just walked up on you? You didn't even know I was there? I was like, no, I'm a guy. I'm either handling it or I'm dead. It doesn't really matter to me. And she's like, I would have been constantly on my guard. So like she is that person in our relationship. She would have nothing to do with like meeting someone internationally of all things. You know what I mean? And experiencing that.
But I think definitely our views are a little skewed in that, like in the positive, like friend direction, but also, but skewed totally different than our partners. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to eat that boar?
I mean, yeah, I would have eaten that.
I would have eaten the boar, shit out of that boar.
The question that I will continue to come back to through this is why the fuck didn't they leave? Like you get back from this experience at out to dinner. Why the fuck didn't you just leave?
Yep.
Like go home. Like these guys are fucking crazy.
Yeah, that I would say that as a small plot point, which we're about to get to in your next chunk of whatever, is like the rabbit that's missing. Like it's a very thin plot point. You know what I mean? Like it's probably the least real, not realistic, but it's not very convincing. It's just like super thin. And I get it. Like you have kids. I would imagine, Jarvis, that you I guess it would have been. Have you had to deal with that before?
Oh, Christ, yes. Hmm. Yeah, it's not always a rabbit. Sometimes it's off-brand Power Ranger Legos. But God forbid I left the house without them. I went back and got them. So, yeah, no. A little thin. I hear you there. But going back to like why they didn't leave, did you guys actually look at how far they had traveled just to see these guys?
It was like an eight-hour drive.
Eight hours.
Yeah, something like that.
It's about an 8-hour drive. It's about 924 kilometers or the equivalent of 574 miles, roughly, assuming, you know, that's just from Denmark to the Netherlands, right? So the equivalent there is Staten Island to Columbus, Ohio, or ironically enough, Kyle, Poughkeepsie to Columbus, Ohio. So it's a drive.
And no one wants to go to Ohio.
Nobody wants to go to Poughkeepsie. I mean, Ohio.
Yeah, go jail. Poughkeepsie's great.
But yeah, that actually does kind of segue really nicely into the second part of this, because the couple does decide to leave, and they leave in the middle of the night. But as we kind of alluded to, they turn around and they return because they believe that they have left their daughter's stuffed rabbit, which they didn't. It was shoved under the seat, which is great, but terrible for Bjorn and Louise, because as they go back, Patrick and Karen begin to shame Bjorn and Louise for leaving, and Bjorn and Louise decide to stay. Everything seems to settle down for a short time as the couple apologizes to each other, and they all chalk it up to their own differences as couples and cultural differences and just misunderstandings in general. However, things become weird again after they learn that Patrick lied about being a doctor while they were on vacation, and when Patrick becomes hostile toward the children as they are practicing a fun dance routine by throwing a mug at Abel, and he begins to yell at him and make him continue to do this dance routine, even though he is crying and clearly upset. And this causes Bjorn to snap about how they are mistreating Abel and say that they're abusing him. I would have left that fucking rabbit. My kid can hate me for the rest 100%. Of our life. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't feel like this is a safe situation for my family, including my child. I'm going home. Sorry.
I'll buy you another fucking rabbit.
I'll buy you another rabbit. If you want to be like, I want another rabbit. Great. We don't need to buy the other rabbit. But
she's just another kid
back.
Crying on the ferry.
Yeah.
Nope. Yep. She ain't getting that goddamn rabbit.
Hell yeah. Nope. I'm good.
100%.
Every interaction in this movie is just a complete affront to the senses. It is mortifying to watch. It is reminiscent of kind of like almost British humor, where like, you know, all the iota is placed on how much the subject matter of the movie is meant to like dissuade you from watching the scene, right? Because the horrors of social discomfort is nothing new, but you're right. This is a different way of looking at it, because these people are trying to connect, right? They're already kind of placed in the situation. So they have like a shared, well, they think they have a shared desire to connect to one another, to become friends. Because it's kind of astonishing how receptive Bjorn's character is to like him taking in these sequence of events, because he has such a desire to be friends with Patrick. And Patrick's able to like see something in him and able to kind of like awake something in him. The scene on the hill when they're just screaming is actually really, really interesting.
Yeah, you got to think when they do, they seem to do this often is the idea. There seems to be this happened a lot of times. You got to think how many times they go into like meeting a couple where it just didn't work out, where it's like, okay, this guy won't be screaming on the hill with me. Okay. I can't get this guy.
Or how many people just didn't answer the postcard.
Right.
Do they just send that out like Christmas cards?
Probably.
Yeah. It's gotta be.
Right.
Yeah. And I do like the foreshadowing at the beginning of the movie. It was like 20 minutes in, I think. And they were like, what could happen? What could go wrong? And I'm like,
hey, Chris, Kyle, did you guys get a Christmas card from Dan? Hey, Dan, hop off real quick. Did you guys get a Christmas card from Dan?
Actually, yes.
Did he ask to hang out with you guys?
What are you guys talking about?
Hey, buddy, nothing. Everything's cool. How are you?
Don't mind the Christmas cards.
Dan, do you want to scream on the hill with me real quick?
My question, like, I just got more mad the more I watch this movie. Like, how many fucking red flags do you need to leave this fucking place? Mm-hmm. Like, these people are such pushovers. I don't understand. Like, they don't make sense to me logically. Why are they just so complacent with everything that's happening? They're like, oh, drunk driving? Okay. And, like, even
they're
to
not,
the
though.
But they are, because they accept that it's their fault. Like, we have
complicit
Patrick and,
or complacent.
Patrick and Karen are like, it's not us, it's you guys. Like, we're sorry that you feel that way. This they're like, oh, you're right. We do just feel that way. That's our bad.
Yeah, this is gaslighting the movie. Like,
it is.
And beyond gaslighting, I think it says a lot about Bjorn as well. Like, Bjorn,
yes,
something is something's up with Bjorn. Like,
he killed the family.
He's a sad bro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. You're bored and upset with, like, I guess how your mundane life feels. Like, yeah, sure. I get bored and like upset with having to go to my job every day. But if this like red flag after red flag was coming up, I'm like, no, I'd rather be back home and deal with my bullshit that I usually do than sit here any longer.
Maybe it's just like it didn't translate well to us being American, but like, the things that they were showing were their mundane life was like, they have friends come over who bring them gifts and they get to enjoy meals with them and enjoy their children and enjoy their place. And I'm just like, this is like my dream. Why
this
are
is the, good.
Yeah, why does he not,
this is fun. Yeah.
Maybe if they would have shown like him going to the same job every day, being yelled at by his boss, not being appreciated, then I'd be like, all right.
I see where you're going there, kind of establishing sort of a pattern of life. Kind of, you know, why there was like that subtle air of desperation for just something new, a new experience that he was going through. Because I kind of get it. Like, I hate sort of those polite dinners where they're like, you're friendly, but you're not really friends. You know, you're just kind of, it's just niceties the whole time. You know what I mean? You're just kind of like tiptoeing around. I don't enjoy that. So like, yes, I think there are some cultural differences in that this is far more European in its mindset than American. But I think for the most part, it translates well because some people just want to kind of break out of the norm.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think where I cut off from the film at this point where it became like less believable for me was that while this whole movie did feel completely believable and I agreed with it for the most part, but the little pieces of it was, for me personally, it would have been more work to keep those people as friends than it would have to just leave. And I don't put that much work into my friends. No offense. I appreciate you guys because I don't have to.
It shouldn't be that way.
Correct.
No, it's not that way.
Right. And so like, he's just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe we just let him punch us. I don't know.
Maybe we just kind of go with the fact that he lied about being a doctor.
Yeah. Maybe he's just acting super fucking weird. I don't know. But
well, like, the movie starts with them being a cute family on a cute vacation to Tuscany, just enjoying their lives. And it's just like, am I to assume that these are miserable people? This seems like they're just living their life and doing their thing. Like, this seems awesome.
No.
I'm just boring. I don't know, man.
Probably like, this is like the fourth time that Kane has ripped out somebody's eyes at this point. So it's
comparably not an interesting movie going on here.
There's been a lot of speaking going on in this movie, but, you know, Kane did stop a lot of seeing.
Kane, you know what? You have a really good point. There's a shit ton of speaking in this movie. Uh-huh. You know who didn't see and see no evil? All the people he was murdering. He was on brand.
Yes, correct.
We're stopping mid-recording.
Better movie.
See no evil episode.
Yep.
God clearly, bless Kane.
Clearly the better movie. All right. Well, let's jump back to our movie because it only gets better from here. So during the night, Bjorn discovers a cabin behind the woods with other luggage and pictures that are put up all over the ceiling of it. And the pictures are of Patrick, Karen, and a bunch of other families and different children. And Patrick and Karen appear to have different children with them every single picture. The picture is suggesting to us that they are serial killers or they run some sort of child abduction ring where they take a different child every single time. So on Bjorn's way back to go and get his family, he finds Abel's body, who's been drowned in the pool. The family successfully escapes, but they are driven off the road, unfortunately. And as Bjorn goes for help, which, I, you know what, real quick, just to back up real quick there, and then I'll finish this. I thought that was really cool that they show that they're almost out of gas. But then the next scene, they showed that they got gas. So, and they were like, well, they got gas. Oh, nope, they got ran off the road.
Yeah, this didn't follow those tropes.
Nope.
No,
it went off and did its thing. You're absolutely right.
But anyway, so I digress. But the family does successfully escape. But as I said, they are driven off the road. So Bjorn goes to find help, but his family is abducted by Patrick and Karen again. And the reason that this works is because Bjorn hasn't, like Chris said, Bjorn didn't tell his family about any of this. He just was like, all right, we got to leave.
Nope.
So his family just willingly goes with them.
A simple quick sentence of, hey, I saw a bunch of luggage and photos of them with different kids. By the way, they killed their child. We need to leave.
Ooh, Abel drown. I think we should go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like, sorry, just to chop in there real quick. I think that was a very funny part where he was like, he saw the dead kid and instead of going, maybe this was by accident, he was like, oh, I know. I gotta go.
Yeah.
So they pull up to another car as Bjorn is brought into the car, and that car gets pulled up to another car and the car stops. Someone walks over. It's our old buddy, the babysitter, Muhajin.
Yay!
So excited. Yay. Unfortunately,
he's given hugs.
He's given a lot of neck hugs.
They hold Agnes down and they cut out her tongue and they carry her away. And that is, Agnes is gone. And then they drive away. And Bjorn and Karen are taken to this rock field where they tell them to strip down to nothing. And as they are asking, like, why are you doing this? They simply say, because you let us. And they walk out. They walk down. Which, I mean, a truer statement has never been said. But we'll get to that in just a second. They walk out into the rock field, and Patrick and Karen lovingly throw rocks at them until they are no longer moving and are dead. The last shot that we see is Agnes, and she's alive, but she's in the backseat of the car with Patrick and Karen, who are on their way to Tuscany on a vacation back to find their next victims. And that is the end.
Unfucking real. Unfucking real.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A truer statement has never been said.
Yeah.
Is that you let us do this. And
I got the same, like, kind of just spine tingling feeling as when I first watched The Strangers, where they're just like, why are you doing this to us? Because you were home. It was like that same feeling. Mm-hmm. Just, oh.
Whereas that one is kind of just like the random element. It's like, you are so, there's no significance to your death. We just wanted to kill someone and you were here. This is the entire opposite. It's because every decision that you've made from the moment that we met has led you here. That we have baited you this far and you allowed us to do it. And you have murdered your family by enacting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say the first thing I thought of at the end was like, man, this is the perfect movie for Kyle, because he prefers when these kinds of movies don't end well for our main characters. So, Kyle, what did you think when you watched the ending of this movie?
So Kane falls out of the window.
Uh-huh.
And he gets impaled. I thought it was symbolic, really.
Yes, yes, go on.
He fell from grace because God is always on his side. His mom's always saying about it's time
for right.
And he falls down, like falls from grace, and he dies, and he's a better man for it. I did watch this movie. I promise you, I did watch it in weird chunks and sped it up and whatever else. But I did actually watch it, and it was, yeah, I watched it, and I think at the end I was just like, what the fuck? is that a proper way to end this movie? Just, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So there was
what other choices there?
Yeah. So there was another ending that they originally had written, but didn't film.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was essentially okay. The original ending featured other people being executed in all different ways. There would be 30 people from other houses who also had guests they planned to be executed.
Like it's a party.
Yeah, or basically, I guess like a larger like cult, if you will, or something like that.
Wow, okay.
I guess it was just the complications with like having to film so many extras, and they wanted to really simplify the ending.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and
I think it works better the way that they did it.
Yeah, and they changed it a week before. So it just says to simplify the plot.
Oh my God.
Simplify the plot, and the ending was changed a week before with only the couple being executed.
It was also, to make a small note, that they did film this during COVID, which did halt production at some point, I read very quickly.
Yes.
So having only two people and two people made a lot more sense than having 30 people, I think, during that time especially. So, yeah.
I don't feel cheated.
No, all. Same. I
no,
love
no,
it.
No, this is definitely great. A better ending. Because, like, showing all those other families and, like, stuff, yeah, it could be implied, like some kind of cult. But, like, reading that, I immediately thought of, like, Belko Experiment and like Cabin in the Woods, where there's all these other things going on. And I do like those movies, but if the ending of this movie made me feel like that, I would have been pretty upset about it.
But you're hungry for more.
Yeah.
I think there's so many cult things going on right now, like Hereditary, you have Midsommar.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like cult shit is just like all over the place. So it's nice to just have like an independent incident separate from the world happening where no one knows that it's happening, and it's just like I think that adds to the creepiness for me.
Yeah,
is that the secluded area this thing happened and no one's going to know that this thing happened. I mean, someone's clearly going to, because their friends know that they went with these people and there's a picture of these people, so there's literally no way that these people could get away with this because they send a picture of themselves. I don't know how they've gotten this far.
And you think the friends of like Bjorn and his wife, they would have been like, you know, we haven't seen them in a while, but they got this postcard from this family telling them to go to this address, and they showed it to us, and we haven't seen them since then. Hey, maybe we should do something about that. Maybe make a phone call or two.
Let's go see Todd and Gerald instead.
Is this, I mean, you mentioned Midsommar. Is this just a movie about how weird the Danish are? Or is this whole thing just one director's love letter to how much he hates the Dutch? It could be taken a lot of different ways.
On that, actually, the writer-director, he had this idea, because he pretty much had this same thing happen. He went on holiday to Tuscany. He met a family that was very friendly, but somewhat socially awkward, and from the Netherlands. So they had fun, and then afterwards they got like a postcard saying like, hey, you should come hang out with us. And he was like, oh, that's nice, but we're not gonna. And he he never talked or met them again, but he always thought like, but what if?
I wonder if he sent them a check. They deserve it. What they inspired is pretty incredible.
Royalties for this one. Yeah.
Thanks for being weird, guys.
This movie is one of those movies that makes me mad at the end. Just watching them sit there, watch their child go through this. The guy willingly getting in the car. The guy willingly let them hold their... Like, I'd be punching his throat while he's driving or something. Like, do something. Try something.
They're less than 2 feet away from her. Yeah. The mother's like a foot away, just being held. Like, dude, that... No.
Anything.
Those scissors are going in my foot. You know what I mean? Like, I will kick and kick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to kill me anyway, I'm going to go out swinging. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? They don't have a gun on me. I'm going out swinging. I'll crash.
They
the
have
fucking
garden
car.
Scissors
like, I don't care.
On you, and that's it.
Yeah,
they look like preschool scissors. You right. know, safety scissors. I was holy, and I was thinking, I was like, those don't look very sharp. And then I was like, those don't look very sharp.
Oh.
Guys, this is all really dark, man. Do you guys? Can we do something different? Can we do something a little more uplifting? I took the liberty. I got some good news stories from the past year. Okay, 2023 was a good year for good news stories.
I think we need some 40... news music in the background right here.
You got it. This just in, 40-pound cat Patches got adopted in Virginia, lost 20 pounds. That's awesome. Let's go to something else. Okay, this one just came up. Michigan teen saves sister from attempted kidnapping using slingshot. Shame he wasn't around there. Hold on. Okay, it's fine. Hold on. Let me move to the next one. All right. Ooh, here you go. Kyle, you'll enjoy this. There's a new AI-based program that aims at uniting seniors and young people in friendship. I'm sure that couldn't be misused.
That's promising.
For human trafficking.
I can hear Chris Hansen picking up the phone right now.
Oh my god. This movie ruins everything. Yeah.
No use. I want more about patches.
You want more about patches, don't you? There's nothing more about patches. Everything's just awful.
Patches died from diabetes 2 weeks later.
Patches, weirdly enough, also got stoned. Don't know why. That's just...
You know, usually on this podcast, Dan is the one who gets stoned. Here usually. It was this fucking weird Danish couple. Crazy.
Yep. Totally sober. Probably should be stoned for this episode.
How can you watch this sober, man?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Do you think it was worse or better that you didn't? This is an honest question because, like, we should tell the listeners, if they haven't seen this yet, how to go into this.
I don't know. I think I was stoned both times I watched it. So really? I only have one perspective of it. And I'm just like sitting there and I'm like, man, my feet are so warm right now.
So maybe a little pot.
I think maybe an edible to like get through this one.
Just not raw dog reality too much. No. On this one.
No,
you could just be like me and I watched it, obviously. Definitely watched it and definitely.
What were you cooking?
No, well, I was roasting. I was roasting sweet potatoes.
I was roasting okay. A door.
Don't act like I don't know you, Kyle.
But why are you gonna call me out like that? Yesterday, when I actually watched, when I watched the film, See No Evil, I had actually finished up what I was doing, and I told people, I said, no, I cannot play a game with you because I have to watch a movie that I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. I spent real time watching Kane. Haphazardly rip people's eyeballs out, all right?
The one time you commit to watching a movie and nothing else, you fuck it up.
It's your fault. Movie. You said it. You said see no evil. And I was like, all right.
Well, dang, shit, Ricky, I was high when I said that.
Oh, my God.
Well, if that's the end of the plot summary, can we go over to our spoopometer, our stankometer, if you will? I'm calling it the stankometer. No, I'm going to keep calling it the spoopometer. It's very good that way. Dan, this is a very Dan-heavy episode. What's your rating scale this week? How many rocks were thrown?
The weight of the average rock. Yep.
So the rate of the average rock in a Netherlands quarry.
I would never pick a weird number like that. So on average, a child has 10,000 taste buds, but we can really like cut it into a quarter, right? So about like 2,500. So
I would say it was actually probably cut into like three quarters. But...
All right. So you know what? Let's just go by quarters. You know, how many quarters of your tongue would you like to have cut out? For this movie, I don't know how to frame it. I never know how to frame my thoughts on these things.
Well, I mean, I guess just to clarify, if I cut out my entire tongue, 4 out of 4 quarters cut out, I'd really like this. I like this movie.
Yeah, because you're willing to go through it. You're letting this happen.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can go with that. I would go with, and I think it's a me problem here. Wait, are we going with the thousands or are we going with a quarter?
I don't know.
Let's do 2,500. Each, okay. Each part of the tongue is 2,500 taste
there
buds.
There you go. There you go. Count by 2,500s, but it's...
All right. So it's 7,500 taste buds, I think, for me. I'm going about 3/4 of the tongue because I think that... I would have probably given it higher, maybe a little bit more in the end. I did not watch this at normal speed. I should have. It really took away from like the whole suspense aspect of it. And it's my fault for not watching this correctly, but it was well shot. It was well done. The actors were amazing. Everybody did a fantastic job. I absolutely will probably try to watch this again at some point in 10 years or something like that. Once the trauma has worn off a little bit, right after, again, my decade of watching, See No Evil as well. So it'll be See No Evil followed by this again. So, and then once the trilogy of Hear No Evil comes out, I'll probably watch that as well.
Now, if Kane was in this, would this have gotten the whole tongue?
No.
Okay.
Really?
I think he did a great job at having no lines in that film.
He sure did.
Going, that was about it. But yeah, I'm going 7,500.
Yeah, I'm also going to go a good 7,500. There's not much else I can say. Kyle pretty much said everything I was going to. Like, it was shot well. Acting was great. The unsettling tension of the movie the entire time, I did enjoy. I also agree with Dan at the end. Like, I was angry at the couple because, you know, you could have gotten yourself out of this situation at any point. And as much as that does bother me, I'm not putting that against the movie at all. The movie's written very well, acted very well, and I was not expecting just how dark it was going to get in the end, and I enjoyed that. So yeah, the 7,500 taste buds of my tongue are gone.
Boys, I think I'm going to go somewhere around 8,000. You're going to take 3/4, and you're going to slice a little off the edges, all right? Because I was conflicted at first, and I'll tell you why. I don't like this movie. I don't enjoy it. And I won't watch it again. I only watched it once, and it wasn't for this podcast. I refused to watch it again. And then I thought, how many movies have actually made me do that? And this is one of the few. And it wasn't because it was uninteresting, and it wasn't because I disliked the way something was done or an artistic choice. It was just absolutely mortifying, and I didn't think I could put myself through it again. So this is honestly kind of a fascinating film. There's no cheap tropes. Dan, you said it fantastically. The fact that they stopped to get gas and they still failed in the end. They didn't take anything the cheap way out. Conceptually, this is all very new. It played on very real adult issues. And my eyes couldn't have left the screen. I wanted them to, but they didn't. So 8,000 total taste buds.
I don't want to talk for very long. I'm going to agree with Jarvis. Chop my fucking tongue out. I don't want to watch this movie again. But good God, if I'm looking for a horror movie, this movie is that. This is that Martyrs audition type of shit horror that really is creepy and scary to me. But what I do want to say, Kyle, I don't want you to feel like you wasted your time watching See No Evil. So just personally, just for you, a meat hook can hold 150 pounds. So 0 to 150, what would you give See No Evil? how much weight would you bear on that hook?
Just for reference, this is the most 2006 movie that's ever existed in its life. it was
we've
loud,
quite a few.
And we've watched a few, but man, was it 2006. Honestly, the gore effects are really good. Surprisingly good. The acting was terrible and the plot line was miserable, but the Art Deco hotel choice, I'm going with 90 pounds on this hook, baby.
Love it.
Ooh, that's pretty good. 90 pounds is pretty good.
It's a all passing right. grade.
It's a passing grade. Hey, C's get degrees.
Well, if that's it, guys, I'm sure we all had a great time just living our absolute worst lives through these people who got absolutely rocked at the end. I'm gonna go ahead and close this out. I want to thank you for giving us a good old listen, and you know, always, you know, give us a little thumbs up, give us a little praise, maybe review us. That'd be cool. I think that helps us still. Follow us on all of our things. We have some topical social media posts pretty often. And
tell your dad about us.
Tell your dad. And Yeah, I want to say thank you to Andrew Cavanaugh because he does our great intro and outro music. And I want to thank Jarvis for our editing and our new podcast logo. My boy out here working extra time. So I appreciate it. And I appreciate you. And Chris, what would you like to tell all of the Dutch people out there?
Thanks for stopping by and having a horrible time.
Or can you say, what do you have to say to all the Danish pussies out there? Can we do that one?
Please? No.
Pretty please?
No.
It'll count as my Christmas present.
No.
Please. Please.
No.
I'll just get you a gift.
Yeah.
No, please.
No, I don't want that.